And so the Gemara basically is saying that the writing down of the Tam of the Mezakin is vital, is essential. Can't proceed without it. We have to explain why. Why is that essential? See, that's the difference. You could always say it's a good idea to write things down. But just to say it's a good idea to write things down doesn't give you the right to say that it's essential, and you can't conduct the trial without it. Here the point is that this is a vital element. There's a chiyuv, and it's part of the conduct of the trial. You can't conduct the trial without it. That, then you have to explain why. You see? My question that, why shouldn't you just write it down? It's a good idea. Yeah, fine. All that's saying is that it's a good idea. No one's saying you can't write it down. Fine. But the Mishnah is presenting it as an absolute. It's an absolute phenomenon. You must have it. If you must have it, then you can't function without it. That, why? For that, if that's the way you're formulating the question, then to merely say, well, because it's a good idea, is not enough. Thus the Gemara wanted to deduce from this, which is really, again, it's like really an in-depth way of looking at the facts, making all kinds of deductions. Because who would have thought to go from this to the principle that you can't change at the time of Gemara Din? That once you're Malamed Tzchus, in a trial, you can't be chozer from that position. And, well, there's two things, obviously. You can't be chozer at all, even to a position of neutrality. And certainly you can't be Malamed Chov. Now, the Gemara wanted to say, from this we can deduce that the position of Rav is wrong. Because Rav held that the prohibition, the limitation, is only during the Masa Matam. But at the time of the Gemara Din, the Malamed Schus can be Chos and Malamed Chav. As opposed to the other view, and the Gemara is questioning that and saying no. That even at the time of Gemara Din, he can't be Choser and Malamed Chav. So the Gemara is saying, from the fact that we write down the Tam, is a proof that he can't be Choser or Malamed Chav even at the time of the Gemara Din. So the bridge is that since we maintain that he's not allowed to change at the time of the Gemara Din, it is vital for us to know the Tam, the reason that he based his position on. Because there is one way in which, theoretically, a Dayan could change his position, even if he was Malamed Tzchus, according to everybody, and nobody would contest this, because we've already established it. That even though we've learned that a Beis Din that has found the Nidon, the defendant, to be innocent, and then they realize they made a mistake, they can't change it, because once he has an immunity. Once he was exonerated in court, he can't be brought back. Even if they realize they made a mistake, unless it's a mistake on something which the tzedukim are moded to, which means to say something which is obvious, something which is just scriptural, it's not part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, so to speak. It's so obvious that anybody reading Chumash would know this. So that doesn't constitute a judicial decision. That's not real or wrong. So since that's the case, the one who was Malamed Tzchus is not allowed to change to Chov. We need to know his Tam to make sure, to protect this point, to prevent him from changing, because there is one way in which he could change if he were to maintain on the next day and say that I realized that I made a mistake and my mistake was on something which the Tzedukim are moded to. Of course, it would be perhaps a little embarrassing. He'd have to admit that he's a big Amaret, whatever the case. Well, it doesn't mean he's a big Amaret. Anybody can make a mistake. Person can be a great genius, great Talmud Chacham, so nobody should be egotistical. Nobody should be a Balgaiva on any area because you'll get tripped up on it. You'll see, you'll make a mistake on something which is pretty simple. It can happen. So, therefore, but that's neither here nor there. What's the difference? The point is, objectively speaking, there is a loophole. A loophole which would enable the person, according to everybody, to get around the restriction of being Chozer Malamed Chov, going from Schus to Chov, if he were to maintain that he made a mistake on something which is a Dava Shesukim Modimba, which would invalidate, so then it would turn out he was never Malamed Schus, because it was invalid, and now we can proceed to be Malamed Chav. Now we, well, if that actually happens, it happens. That we can't, you see, the phenomenon itself we can't prevent. I mean, if that actually happens, then on day one he's Malamed Chos, and nobody picks up the fact that he's made a mistake on a Dovish and Stukim Modena. If it actually did happen, and then the day two he realizes it, or somebody else realizes it and brings it to his attention. Well, if that happens, that happens. I mean, we don't want to prevent that, because then, in point of fact, in actuality, he wasn't Malamed Sfas. There was no psak. That we can't prevent, and we're not trying to prevent a thing like that. If it happens, it happens. What we're concerned about is if it didn't happen. He gave a valid psak of Sfas. It wasn't based on a mistake that the Tzedukim Amodim were. Okay? But now he wants to change his position. Could be he realizes he made a mistake. Why he wants to change his position, we don't know. Why does he want to change his position? Tachov. Well, it could be a number of reasons. It could be because he realizes that he made a mistake. Yeah, but still, the question would be, doesn't he want to abide by the law? The law says that you have to. It's interesting. It's interesting. According to this, you're going to have a situation where somebody is going to be bound to make a decision to vote in the final analysis in accordance with something that he doesn't believe to be correct anymore. So we'll just leave that question hanging. It could be that he realizes that he made a mistake. Or it could be other factors. We're not going into motive over here. Even though we're talking about a dayanim, it could be other factors. It could be that he wants to save this person. No, I'm sorry. He wants to convict this person. Made a mistake. He wants to convict this person. It could be. Whatever the reason is, he then can claim that he has the right to vote for a conviction. And he can rescind the fact that he was a Malamed Schus by claiming that he made a mistake on a Davish Estukim Modimba. And if we didn't have the record, then, of his reason, if we didn't write it down, then he could get away with it. Of course you could ask, well, one second, when he did it, everybody else heard him. And nobody mentioned that. Nobody pointed out that that you're making a mistake, and it's davar shetukim modimo. So suppose I ask you that question. Suppose I throw everything off by asking you a very simple question. Why do we have to write down the reason? What's the basis for this chashash and this concern? He didn't do this in private. He didn't go into a booth, quiet and silently, record or whatever it is, or make a statement. He did it publicly. We go around the room, as we said. You go around the room, and you ask each person, and everybody else is listening to you, and then you have a debate. And at the time, nobody else noticed it. So we don't have to write it down. If it was a Davish Estukim Modimo, it would have come out in the discussion. The answer is, as everybody is saying, that is true. But that does not, and I think it's an important point to make in terms of understanding Tosfos, that does not render it impossible. It's possible for these things to happen. Well, as we've seen, I mean, you could have given me a very simple answer, a much simpler answer, and simply say that if that's the case, according to what I'm saying, then how come we were discussing a situation where the entire Beis Din, the entire Sanhedrin, found him to be innocent, and then they realized that it was on a mistake of the Davish HaTzukim Mosba. Well, there's your answer. That's the answer to this question. Because if this bothers you, and you feel that it's an impossibility, that a person could get up there and make a mistake and nobody would notice it, but we've already learned that there's a halacha pertaining to the entire Beis Din, that it's quite possible that they will acquit the person on the basis of a mistake, and we'll have to rescind it. Because the mistake was on a Davish Tukim Modimo, and that's the Sanhedrin. So that's, how can that happen? The answer is, it can happen. That's it. Well, if that can happen, then certainly this can happen, because this is less far-fetched. Because here you have a situation where not everybody necessarily is paying attention to him. You're going around the room. Each dayan is theoretically supposed to be listening, but it's very possible that each person is thinking about his own idea, what he's going to say. He's next. You're going to be speaking next. I'm speaking now. Are you listening to me, or are you concentrating on what you're going to say? So that's, everybody's distracted. Everybody's involved. It's easier for something to slip by. And that's at the first phase of Masu Matan. Not everybody has had a chance to think things through. So it's possible for mistakes to be made. And it's possible that the person said something and either people weren't listening that closely and it got slipped through. And then the next day you're going to claim that you made a mistake and nobody noticed it. Ah, thus a written record. Here it is. We can play it back. We can verify it. And he's saying that what I said yesterday was a mistake in a Davish Luka Modemo. Okay, we take out the record, we can analyze it, we can examine it. No spekos. Therefore, it's a question on Rav that we see from the fact that you have to write down the time. You must deduce, the only possible explanation would be that he can't change at Gemar Din. And this is a protection. This is to lock that in, to make sure that the Malamed Eschus will not seek to change and be Malamed Chov and utilize the claim that he made a mistake on a Dov Shetuk Modimah. Now we have the question of Tosfos that very same logic should seem to apply to Rav. Rav would it seem to have a simple answer, because Rav also agrees, basically, that there is a time when you can't change. Because you're basically saying that the reason for writing down the time, the reason for writing down the reason is to prevent a person from changing in a situation where he's not allowed to change his position, if you just generalize. So we all agree, Rav agrees also, that the Malamed the Schus can't change during Masu Matan, so that he could say that the reason for writing it down is for the Shas, Masu Matan and Lamacha, where he can't change his position. So I'm saying the same thing you're saying. I'm saying the reason for writing down the Tom is basically the same idea. To make sure that a person doesn't change from Schus to Chov when he's not permitted to do so. And since I also maintain that he's not permitted to do so at the time of Masu Matan, even though I say at Kamar Din he can, but at Masu Matan he can't, so there's going to be a Masu Matan of Lamacha, and that's why you have to write down his reason. So he shouldn't, in the Masu Matan, try to switch from being a Malamed Chus to a Malamed Chav. Tosis, in answering this question, is making a distinction between the prohibition, the way Rav understands it, of changing his position during Masu Matan, as opposed to the other position, which is he can't change his position at Gemar Din. It's very significant, according to Tosfos. He's kind of diminishing the significance of Rav, the way Rav understands it. And that is to say that the reason is that that he should be Mahapech HaChasusim, he should search. Since he's been defined now, his position in the debate is he has to argue for Schus, he can't argue for Chov. So therefore he's going to put much more energy into substantiating the schus. But at the end, he can change and vote for Chov. So he's saying it doesn't make that much difference. Look at the wording of Tosfos. Lekanaf kusa kulehai. It doesn't make that much of a difference regarding the schus or the ptur, the innocence or guilt of the nidam. That's what he seems to be saying. I mean, in general, it seems to be that it's just a question, what's the whole significance of it? That there should be a greater effort to find the schus. So for that benefit, to secure that benefit, it's not that it matters, it's not that an issue of concern. We have to be choshesh, we have to be fearful, we have to be concerned that he might seek to remove himself by saying that he made a mistake on Davish Luke Modva, and therefore we have to write that. You have to go that far. But according to the other side, where it's an issue in terms of the status of the nidon, schus and chov of the nidon, that's something else. And you gotta go to the extreme. You gotta be concerned, and so on and so forth. That's his answer. He wants to differentiate between the significance of the position that he can't change if it's just masa matan. Because if it's just masa matan, so then it's a matter of mahapik hachasusa. And so, okay, it seems to be diminishing. So it's not such a terrible thing. We don't have to worry about it. But if you're telling me that it's about he can't change even at Gemar Din, so then it becomes a different picture, and then I have to be concerned that he might remove himself and change his position, and so on and so forth. And then you have to write that. But let's see if we can understand that. One of the questions we asked yesterday was, let's make up our mind. What do you mean it's not that important? If it's not that important, so why is this such a law in the first place? You know. So it's important enough, this factor, the masu matan factor. That is to say, in terms of trying to save the nidon, it's important enough to establish the law that once he's melamed tzchus, then he can't change throughout the debate phase, the deliberation phase. So why? So he should search after tzchusim. So it's important enough to make that law. If it's important enough to make that law, so don't you want to lock it in, so to speak? And if it's not that important, so that therefore you don't have to write down the reason, so then you shouldn't have that law in the first place. That was the kind of question that we asked. We're going to put this problem on hold, so to speak, because the fellows need some more time to think about it. We'll be coming back to it. Now we're going to turn to the Me'iri, which is on Daf Kuf Chafhei in the pages of the Me'iri. Alright, the first column, second paragraph. Kishab Basin, Nosin, Venosin, Bedin. When the Besdin deliberates, Shnei Sofrei Hadayonin, Omdim Lefneim. The two scribes, judicial scribes, stand in front of them, V'chosfin Dibrehem Mechayvin, V'tam Shalahem. And they write the words of the Mechayvin and their reason. V'Dibrehem Mezakim, V'tam Shalahem. And the words of the Mezakim and their Tam. Tam HaMechayvin, the reason of the they write down Tom, the reason of the mechayven, k'deshim hayu mechayven l'machrasam, for if there's a delay, that is, on the first day, as you know, if they can't acquit, and you're not allowed to convict on day one. In order to convict, you have to have at least 2 days. You have to have havanas hadin. So if there's a machras, so k'deshim hayu mechayven l'machrasam. Because if they are still voting for conviction on the next day, mitam acher, because of a different reason, shalo katam shal yom rishon, not the same as the one they gave on the first day, nasek chozer mitam rishon, he becomes as one who has relinquished, changed his position from the first time. And of course you're allowed to change. When it's l'chov, you're allowed to change. Umalin nes adin, and you have to postpone the din to the next day, overnight, b'shvil tam zeh, because of the new tam, shenis chadesh hayom, which was discovered this day, shema yachzor mimenu halayla. So he's giving you the reason for halana. The reason for halana is because a tam, it's a halacha in the psak din, as we said. You can't be gomer, you can't conclude a psak din of chav for conviction without the phenomenon of halana. It's a halacha in the process that it's not fit. You can't be gomer at din l'chov unless the psak has gone through a process of overnight reconsideration. Only then can you be gomer. The tam hamazakim and the reason of the mazakim is k'dei shiyiru tam shelahem. She'amru l'schus v'yatimuhu, so that they should be able to see, to recall, to recognize the tam that they gave l'schus v'yatimuhu bi'atzmam v'yamiduhu. What does that mean, fellas? To strengthen it, to maintain it, to build it up. It's interesting. It shows you the process of thought, that you can have an idea You first state an idea, and then people attack it and break it down. It doesn't mean that the idea has to be discarded, but you got to think about it and strengthen it, or certain things you discard, you refine it, and you think more, and it's a whole debate. It's a developmental phenomenon. So therefore, they write down the Tom for that purpose. Okay. And if they don't write the reason, maybe they will forget it and they'll be inclined towards conviction. Because at the time of Gmar Din, they're permitted to be chozer. And that's with regard to what we said. That's position of Rav. That if they have seen, selected, so to speak, a Tom of Chov, we listen to them. This is different than the question I raised originally. I raised the question originally, write it down. It's helpful. It's a good thing. People forget. And the answer I gave to that was that's just a good idea, but that doesn't explain why it's an absolute necessity. He's giving you a reason why it's an absolute necessity with regard to the issue of the question that Tosis raised. That is, that he's taking that position, the question that Tosis raised, but beyond that, he's endorsing that as being the answer. That is to say that you have to write down the reason, because of the halacha that b'shas masu matan you can't change. You don't need the factor that you can't change at Gemar Din. It's enough to say that you can't change at masu matan to warrant writing it down, because that's the whole purpose. We want him to argue this lesson. And if he forgets what his reason was, how is he going to strengthen it? How is he going to work on it? In order for him to do his job, which is to establish and fight for that reason and strengthen it, he needs to have it in front of him. If he doesn't and he forgets, so then he can lapse off into Chav, because maybe he can't argue for Chav, but he certainly can listen and get caught up in an idea of Chav, because at the time of Gemar Din he can vote for Chav. So we're defeating our purpose. Of course, the main problem with the idea of the Meir, now to me the idea of the Meir makes perfect sense, I don't have a problem with it. But if it's that simple, if it's that pushit, so then there's no question in Rav, because then the fact of writing down the Tom of the Mechaivin is neither a proof to this position. It's needed according to the position that you can't even change it to Gemar Din. But it's also needed according to the position that you can't change at Masu Matan, and you can change at Gemar Din. It's needed according to both positions, if that's the case. So it's neutral. This fact does not constitute a proof to one position or the other. However, if you read the Gemara, he gave an answer which is completely different. To defend Rav, it came up with the idea that you have to write down the reason, because you have to know maybe two people gave the same reason from two different sukkim, and therefore one of them is invalid, and fine, it's a whole different answer. But according to the way Miri is explaining it, you didn't need that answer. This is pretty obvious. Continuing now the Miri, FLP Shegadole Harabanim, that's Rashi, Gorsin Bederach Acheres, even though they learn a different way. The FLP Shetirza Lomar Shalomi Tamza. It's clear, first of all, that Rashi doesn't learn like him. Because Rashi, in El Adivre, Rashi explains that if it's just for the time of Masa Matan, it's just Mahapachachachachos. It's basically like Tosfos. It's the same thing as Tosfos. So Rashi rejects the logic of the Meiri, but that doesn't deter him. But the more problematic issue is the Gemara. He can differ with Rashi, but the Gemara. The Yavah be Shetir Taloma, and even though the answer that they gave, Shalomi Tamza, is not because of this reason. The Gemara didn't give this reason that I just mentioned as the answer. Ela Shema Amru Shnayim Tamechad B'Shnei Mikros. Even though they gave a different answer, which we're familiar with, that is to say that you have to write down the reasons because of the possibility. that two people gave the same time, from two different sources, and the rule is that the Torah is not constructed that way, that one pasuk can have many times, but one time will not be expressed in two separate psukim. So therefore, one of them has to be wrong, and therefore we can only count one. That was the answer of the Gemara. So that's why I have to know the Talmud of the Mezakin, because it's possible that you have two people that were both Mezakin for the very same reason, but one based it on this pasuk and one based it on the other pasuk, and I can only count it as one. That's the answer that the Gemara gives. That's strange that the Gemara has to come up with that answer when, in point of fact, you have a very simple answer. As I've just said, says the Meiri. He says, Derech Techia Nemar Kain. Before we go further, it's important to note that the Meiri, it's a very bold point. First of all, he's disagreeing with Tosfos and with Rashi. His position is that there's really no problem here for Rav at all. That it is sufficiently important, because Rav maintains that he can't change position in the Masa Matan. And there's a loophole, and that we don't want him to change position in the Masa Matan. And if we didn't write down the time, he'd have the exact same loophole. He could argue that he made a mistake on a Dover Shetzlukim Odebo, and therefore he's not a Malam Yitzchus, and therefore he'd be free to argue in the Masan Matan L'chov. Actually, he doesn't even say that. Excuse me. He doesn't really say that. He says something even less radical. He's saying he may forget the reason. See, I take that back. That's not what the Meir was saying. When I first came into it, I was looking at it from that angle. He's not even saying that. He's not even saying that we have that concern. The concern that he's mentioning is that is even less, so to speak, far-fetched, but that he might forget. And if he forgets, it defeats the entire purpose. Because the whole purpose was that he should take this time and then work with it and stick with it and try and defend it and support it. If he's not doing that, if he forgets his time, so then, true, he won't argue l'chav. Because everybody agrees that we have to write down that he was a mazaka. That's, you follow me? Everybody agrees we have to write down that he's a mazaka. But what about the tom? So then he's saying that it's vital to tom, because that's what he's supposed to be doing, defending his tom, strengthening his tom. And if he doesn't have the tom in front of him, he could forget the tom. So what will he do during Masumat? He'll just be silent. He won't be arguing for schus. He won't be arguing for schus. And since it is possible he has the right to vote for Chov at the time of Gemar Din, so then his mind can be, he's free now, he's not going to be arguing for Chov, so he'll listen to all the arguments for Chov, and what we're going to have is he can wind up with Chov, his das can be not to start Chov. The question still remains, though, that the Gemara doesn't learn this way. If that's the case, that's the position of those who learn like Rav, that's the real reason. So why did the Gemara have to give this answer that we're concerned about one time from two mikros? So what he says is that derech techia nemarkan kolomar she'ein raya mizu, that is to say that there's no proof from here. Derech techia means that all the objective was merely to push off the raya, to push off the challenge. It doesn't mean that I hold that that's the real reason. I'm just removing the challenge. I want to show you that the case you're bringing does not constitute a challenge to my position. Now, I have two ways in which I could do it. I could do it on the basis of my understanding of the position itself. Or I don't have to deal with that. Why is it preferable? The question still remains. He's saying that the Gemara just wanted to show that there's no proof from here, so it gave a reason. It gave a reason why you have to write it down. That in case There's two time. There's one time from two psukim. But then you'll say so. So the whole objective was just to defend my client, so to speak. A lot of times you bring the evidence against my client. I can't believe that evidence that those facts don't prove your point. But I won't even use that argument. Why I interpret the facts differently? I'll show you that they're invalid completely because they have no relationship to the case. So you'll say, well, why don't you use your own reason? Now, very often you'll have a situation like that where someone is bringing facts that challenge your position. And you maintain that these facts are not a challenge. For logical reasons, for abstract reasons. That's one way. Or I have another way of disproving it. I could say that this is really coming for a factual basis. Therefore, I would say, of course, the question is like this, is that if it's Derech Techiyah, so what? So why didn't it use this reason for Derech Techiyah? There's no question that they're trying to stave off the challenge, so to speak. So his answer is, yeah, the Gemara gave that answer, but the Gemara gave that answer Derech Techiyah. But really, what I'm saying is correct. So you have to ask, well, why did the Gemara say his the correct answer, so to speak, for the Derech Techiyah, do both? In my opinion, the reason why the Gemara uses the reason that it does, that is to say you have to write down the Talmud, because of this possibility that two people will say the same time from two different psukim, and they base it. That's an abaya. You see, there's a lot of abaya, and you see there's a position that holds that's only counted as one. These facts are perfect. That's a factual kind of an answer. That's a theory. That's Derech Techiyah. Once I can show you that this set of facts, that is to say, that you have to write down the time of the mezaken, is necessary according to an established legitimate position, and that's why he brings in the Ibaya. That there is such an Ibaya, and there is a Mamiyam who actually holds this way, that one time from two psukim only counts as one, so you can't argue with that. You can't argue with that, that therefore according to that position, it's absolutely necessary to write down the time of the mezaken. I'd rather give that answer because there's no theoretical debate. You can't argue with that. My answer, I still maintain that even if you didn't have that position, I maintain that even if you held that one time from two psukim counts as two, still you'd have to write down the reason because of the fact that b'shas masum matan we wanted to argue l'schos. I hold that way. See, but I'd rather use this argument in debate because that one is just my interpretation. That's an interpretation. And if you don't agree with my interpretation, so then you'll say, no, the facts challenge me. But if I have an answer, which is based upon facts, it's a factual answer, that according to this position, according to the position which maintains that one time from two psukim is invalid, so you obviously have to write down the time of the mezaken. You can't argue with that. That's a factual answer. And there's not, so Derech Techiyah. He used it, Derech Techiyah. But in point of fact, I maintain that it never was a question against Rav in the first place. And if you didn't have this, it wouldn't be a question. Because according to Rav, it's necessary to write down the time, because otherwise you're defeating your purpose of saying that Peshas Masu Matni can't be Chozer. If that's your purpose, that you want to assign him a task in the Masu Matni to be the strengthening, to argue for Schus, so then you have to write down the reason, so then you shouldn't forget the reason. To use that, you say, to use that as a defense against the facts would not have been that strong. Someone like the Yadrama would come along and say, why should we be choshi v'shikra? It's a weak answer. It's not a weak position, but it's a weak answer. It's not a weak position. If you maintain logically that this is the correct position, then it's very strong. But in debate, you see, in debate, You have to understand there's a difference between the strength of a position and then when you're dealing with the facts. I can have a position which is very abstract, and people, not everybody's going to agree with me, but I can be absolutely convinced that it's true, and people on a very advanced level of abstraction will see it. But then if you have a set of facts which ostensibly go against it, and I have to explain those facts on the basis of this abstraction, it's not going to be as strong in the case of argument. You see, it's only those people that see that point. But if I have something else, if I could show you a simple factual basis which would remove, push aside your challenge, so then fine, I'd rather use that. I don't have to deal with this. What the Meiri did is, obviously, I mean, when he had to praise the Meiri, you see the brilliance of what he did. Because he maintained that from the standpoint of logic, even according to Rav, there's no problem with the Sofrim writing down Tom Musil. That would be necessary according to Rav. Because in order to facilitate the position that he should argue as first in the Masa Mata, we have to write it. However, the very basis of the question, the questioner was saying that no, it doesn't make sense. It's not compelling. That just to achieve that purpose, it's not necessary to write it down, but it is compelling to write it down if it's at the time of Gemar Din. Well, I guess everybody would have to agree that of the two, yeah, it's more compelling. It's more compelling if you're writing it down because it can't change at the Gemara Din. It is more compelling. But I maintain that at the Shah time of Masa Matan, it's sufficiently compelling to warrant writing it down. That's what I maintain. So therefore, it's not a question. See, but given that the Makshan is not accepting that, he's not accepting that logic, and he's operating with the logic that in terms of the machlokas. In terms of the machlokas, it's clearly more compelling to write it down if you hold you can't change it tomorrow day. Less compelling, it's clearly less compelling to demand that you write it down if it's just a matter of masama. So therefore, to answer, if I have no other answer, I'm going to say no. I hold that it's sufficiently compelling even though you can change it tomorrow day. Right? If I have no other answer, I'm going to have to say that. That's what I'm going to say. In fact, Meiri does not say this, but I maintain he would have said it if there was no other answer. If there's no other way to explain it, Rav would not have folded. Of course he wouldn't have folded. According to the Meiri, he would not have folded. Yeah, but in the debate, don't you have a better answer? That answer would have been viewed as being a weaker answer. Because everybody has to agree that it is certainly that these facts are much more supportive of the other position, much more in line, smoother with the other position. Because again, it's more compelling to write it down if you can't change it all, even at the time of Gemara Din. Less compelling if you hold like Rav, but sufficiently compelling. Ah, so wouldn't it be better if I had an answer that there's no speculation about? It's not dependent upon my theory. This answer is dependent upon my theory. And if you don't accept my theory, you're not going to accept the answer. You're going to think you proved me wrong. Yeah, come on. You have to agree with that. So then there'd be something missing over here. Something would be, it would constitute a problem on your position. The position of Rav would lose, so to speak, a certain amount of compellingness. Wouldn't be as compelling if you had this doubt lingering in your mind, this Shnei Sofra Deyonim factor out there. It doesn't. Your position doesn't seem to jive that well with that fact. But if I could, excuse me, if I could show you that there's no problem, that Mishnah of Shnei Sofra Deyonim, they must write L'Schus because of another reason, and that removes the whole problem. I don't have to deal with it anymore. Well, you must write, you have another reason why you have to write it, and therefore I remove those set of facts from the discussion completely. That's the way the Meiri learned. It's a brilliant way of learning, and that's what he means by Derech Techiyah. Bear in mind, according to Rashi and Tosfos, these facts, in and of themselves, constitute a breakdown of Rav. That, of course, they don't emanate from the position of Rav. The position of Rav, that he can't change during Masa Matan, but he can change during Gemara Din, is inconsistent with these facts. That's what they concede. And that's normally what you would think, because Rav doesn't give his answer. And Rav has to find another reason. Okay, so that's straight. So it's a conceptual phenomenon. But according to the Meiri, he learns differently. He learns that Rav's position, as he understands, is perfectly harmonious with these facts. However, as a defense against these facts, there's a much better way. Derech Techiyah. There's a much better way to go. Because the answer the Gemara gives is irrefutable.